Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. Today, my show is called The Courage to Heal and Bring Joy into Your Life. What does it take to heal? What does it take to bring joy into your life? What does it take to feel fulfilled, feel a sense of connection with not only yourself, with others? Well, we're going to discuss that and many topics today with my guest. His name is Dr. Rosenthal. He's an MD. I'm going to get right to him in just a minute. But first, I got to pay a commercial and pay my show, I guess. My show has to make some money, right? So I'm sure you're aware of that. But, you know, this is an amazing commercial. So I hope you'll listen to it and be able to really connect with us.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
Welcome back, everybody. I see my guest has joined me. His name is Dr. Norman E. Rosenthal, and he is the world-renowned psychiatrist, researcher, and best-selling author who first described seasonal affective disorder, SAD, and pioneered the use of light therapy as a treatment during his 20 years at the National Institute of Mental Health. His latest book is Poetry RX, How 50 Inspiring Poems Can Heal and Bring Joy to Your Life. Dr. Norman, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
Wow, you've had such a renowned career, and you've worked with the mind of so many individuals for so many decades. And what have you found out? What have you found out during your time?
First of all, the mind is infinitely fascinating. As the poet Emily Dickinson said, the brain is wider than the sky. And so it's been a tremendous joy and privilege to explore people's minds from so many different directions, listening to their stories, listening to their suffering, seeing all the things that have been established to help people with their suffering, and having the opportunity to discover a few new ones myself.
I love that. Well, you know, in 1992, I was in working with a therapist, amazing man up in Sacramento, California. And I walked into the therapy session one day, and we've been working together for about a year. And I said, "Doctor, I'm hearing this voice in my head." And the voice says, "You got to feel the pain to make the change." And of course, I didn't want to feel anything at that point in time. He was so wise. He said to Ken, Ken, you know, I can't really help you anymore. You need to follow that voice. And, you know, he knew me well enough that I would explore that. And, you know, for me, what happened is about 2 days later, I walked into a recovery center and got the help that I needed. So we have to feel pain to go through this transformation of the mind?
Well, it's fascinating, you know. One of the books that I've written, not the present one, but a previous one, I took all the lessons that I'd learned that nobody ever taught me. And as I looked through them, I saw that the best, biggest lessons occurred when things went wrong, when I had setbacks, painful experiences, difficulties. And I wrote a book called The Gift of Adversity. So that would be right in line with what your therapist had said. But now, writing this new book, Poetry RX, I have poems in there that emphasize the need to accept your poems. And there's one short poem, if I may, I would love to read to you because it's so on point. It's by Jalaluddin Rumi.
Please do. Yes, go ahead.
It's called The Guest House. And here it goes. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond.
That's very deep. That's very deep. And it's really talking about the journey of the soul into the light, in defining itself and realizing what's within it. That's powerful. Let me ask you something. You know, you wrote this book on poems. How do poems heal our life? How do words, do words really matter?
Words have been so powerful since they have first been developed. If you think of the great myths of the Odyssey, of the Iliad, these were first read. They were the oral expression of our poetic vision and our poetic ideals. They talked about things that really mattered: war and peace, love and betrayal. Coming home, the Odyssey is the great coming home story and how difficult it is to come back home and all the obstacles that you encounter. So words have been our vehicles for understanding and coming to terms with and embracing these elements of our destiny.
Dr. Rosenthal, would you say that words can actually heal us? And if so, what is the power behind those words that does the healing?
I would definitely say that's the case. In fact, one story I've featured in Poetry RX, and I've featured many stories because, you know I relate to stories and people listen to stories and are attracted to stories. That's why you've got Netflix and Amazon and Hulu, all of these vehicles, as well as the libraries of books, all depend upon the power of the spoken word and the written word and the power of the story. So I believe that stories can heal. And one of the stories in the book is the story of a novelist named Kevin Powers, who wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times saying, "Words saved my life." He was back from the war. He had PTSD. He was drinking too much. And he read just a line or two in the work of the poet Dylan Thomas, who we can revisit later because he's such a great poet. But this sentence there about how all that he's done has been written for the benefit of human beings and out of the respect of God. And that line, he said, was like the tether that led him out from his abysmal state of misery into a state of grace and redemption.
Wow. You know, I've had that experience myself where I've read something and all of a sudden something clicks inside and it opens something up inside of me. And I'm sure that a lot of people have that same experience. So I want to talk a little bit more about that book and what are the specific poems that you chose to put in there? And are there some originals? But I have to take a quick break. So we'll talk about that when we come back. All righty.
Mm-hmm. Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
Have you recently used your phone, computer, and Wi-Fi and wondered if they might be affecting your sleep, focus, or possibly even your well-being? Living Design Technology has investigated recent developments in how electromagnetic energy coming from a variety of sources, including cell phone, Wi-Fi, microwave, radio, and TV, are impacting people and their environment. They have developed simple, effective tools that support the harmonizing of the electromagnetic energies present in your home, office, and car. Living Design Technology works by providing the information nature needs to balance the electromagnetic energies in your environment. It's amazing. Nature is actually doing the work when Living Design Technology is present. Find out more at livingdesigntechnology.com/courage. And put in the code COURAGE to get 20% off your first order. Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm speaking with Dr. Norman Rosenthal. And he is a highly cited researcher. He's written over 200 scholarly articles and authored or co-authored 10 popular books. These include Winter Blues, the New York Times bestseller Transcendence, and national bestsellers The Gift of Adversity and Supermind. His latest book, Poetry RX, How 50 Inspiring Poems Can Heal and Bring Joy to Your Life, is what we're talking about right now. Bringing joy to your life. So in that book, first of all, are there some original poems in there? Are these the classics? Let me stop there. And then I want to ask you how you picked them.
Yeah, these are the classics, the poems that have stood the test of time. I figured anything that's helped people for at least decades, if not centuries, must have something very, very important that it communicates. And so they're not original. They are commentaries on other people's poems. But each one is a poem that I personally love and feel passionate about and feel has this capacity. As a healer myself, I have looked at what can heal people. And these are poems that were brought to me by patients, brought to me by friends, or in my own experience, have had this power to heal.
Dr. Rosenthal, that brings up a thought. How do you define a healer? And then, you know, how did you choose the poems that seem to have these healing qualities? So let's start with, how do you define a healer? How do you define yourself as a healer? Maybe it's a better question.
I would say, to me, being a healer is helping other people to live better lives, either physically more healthy, mentally more healthy, more at peace with themselves, happier. It's the commitment to trying to help people achieve these goals that characterizes a healer, in my experience.
I'm glad I asked you that question, because I don't really consider myself a healer, but as defined by you, I would fall into that category. Interesting.
Why not be a healer through your show? I'm sure that's what you do, even the messages you're bringing today to your audience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'll redefine that for myself. I like what you said. I'm curious, you know, why do some poems heal and change and, you know, other words don't? Have you figured that out? What's that secret formula in those words that seem to, some words change us and change and move us and we feel the passion of it, and others just don't seem to connect?
Well, I think poems have got different goals, and some poems maybe describe a summer evening or describe a pleasant experience or a painful experience. But some poems seem to reach so deeply into the psyche of the poet and give such an honest version of those feelings that the person reading it or listening to it, or sometimes doing both, because I encourage people to read a poem aloud, that they visit along with the poet those same feelings. And for example, I have got poems here that are in response to a breakup. And for example, one poem, if I may read it, is a case in point. It's by Derek Walcott, the Caribbean poet who's a Nobel Prize winner. It's called Love After Love. And here it goes.
Let's do it.
The time will come when, with elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit, feast on your life.
Well, I was just taking that in. That was, you know, what experienced with me with that was the times that I don't necessarily recognize those achievements, those milestones, mm-hmm. those times that I've expanded my life and grown and evolved. I think a lot of us don't do this. So that poem connected me to that. Is that what the poems do?
That is what they do. I mean, you know, imagine you're going through a breakup, or even if you're not, you think back to a time when you were so bereft, you had a breakup, somebody left you maybe, you wanted to salvage things, but they were beyond being salvaged. And imagine thinking that you could greet yourself with elation, that you would feel better, that you would be over it, but you need to do certain things to get over it. You need to reclaim yourself. You need to take down the love letters, the desperate notes. You know, when do you write desperate notes? When you're trying to salvage a relationship. Oh, dear, don't leave me. We're so good together, whatever, whatever. Take them down. Don't leave up memories that are going to rub salt in the wound. And, you know, take back yourself, because when you fall in love, sometimes you kind of merge with the other person. And that is not always a good thing.
Not always a good thing. Joy, you know, joy is, it seems to be fleeting for a lot of people. Well, maybe happiness is fleeting. Once we reach a state of joy, do we keep that? Is that fleeting too? How do we attain that through poetry?
Well, I think often joy is in a situation. There's one very famous poem, of course, by William Wordsworth called Daffodils, where he goes with, he goes with a couple of relatives into the countryside and sees this incredible mass of gorgeous daffodils. And it changes his consciousness. That's a wonderful thing about Wordsworth. They call him the transcendental poet, because it's like he's got the capacity to see into nature and then go beyond himself, to transcend the ordinary. And in this poem, he talks about how he He comes back, and when he lies down on his couch, he may be in a vacant or pensive mood, they flash upon the inward eye, that is the bliss of solitude, he says, and then my heart with pleasure fills and dances with the daffodils. So in his mind, he's basically bottled this experience that he can reaccess because he's imprinted it upon his psyche. So I think that's one way to kindle joy, and that's one way that that particular poem has given so many of us joy.
You know, poetry was, I guess it kind of went out of style for a while. I mean, you know, back in the 60s, when I was around, we had Allen Ginsberg. We, you know, then a lot of musicians, Simon and Garfunkel come to mind. Bob Dylan comes to mind. You know, Cat Stevens. There's a lot of artists that were using poetry to bring understanding into the world. It seems like it's coming back. I think it's in vogue. I mean, there's poetry slams around the world right now. What's your hit on that?
Well, I think it's coming back because it's a bit like the definition of a myth that Freud gave, that a myth is something that was never true and will always be true. So there are these kind of universals. The response that people have to poetry is basically wired into our system. They've done studies at the Max Planck Institute in Germany where they've wired people up, they put them in an MRI and they've wired up their bodies. And what they find is that when these people listen to great poetry, they feel chills and goosebumps that are actually measurable, and the reward circuitry of their brains is activated. So this is a fundamental thing, so that it can come and go in and out of fashion. And I agree with you that it's back in fashion, but it's eternal because it's wired into our information processing systems.
Well, you know, you said something really important because, you know, with neuroscience today and in the study of the brain, we've come so far in the last 15 years to understand, you know, the brain is really just a chemical factory. It can be. And we can release those endorphins into our system. But people are always going, well, how do I feel better? How do I get more happiness? And what you're saying is that there's research around this, that reading poetry, reading, you know, connecting with that poem can actually increase that joy and happiness inside of our brains. It releases those chemicals in our body. Is that what I'm hearing? Is that right?
It is what you're hearing. And if I might add to that, that's really what I've tried to do with this book, Poetry RX, is to say these are not old-fashioned, out-of-date, defunct things that belong in a dusty museum. These are living, vibrant creations of the brilliant minds. They're beautiful, they're joyful experiences. But here's how you might want to read them to get the most out of them. So I give the poem, then I give a little essay, then I give some takeaway points. I heard in one of your commercials that there are action items that this entity is giving. I like giving people takeaways, action items. And then at the end, I put a little bio sketch of the poet and show how this poem is the organic output of this brilliant and lovely mind. So that I do that 50 times. And people, as one of my friends says, the book is congenial for snacking. You don't have to gobble the whole thing up in one fell swoop. You can just read a couple, enjoy them, come back to it when you want. It's a resource as much as anything else.
You know, I would really love to have you back on my show. We're running out of time here, but you know, I can listen to this conversation and be in this conversation for hours. I love what you're talking. Tell me how readers can get the book. Tell where can we find this?
Well, it's available on Amazon.com and also through various bookstores, the larger bookstore chains, but Amazon's a good place. And they can find out more about me and my work through my website, which is normanrosenthal.com. Please come and visit me and enjoy the book. Whenever, you know, people say, you know, has the book been a success? And I say, you know, every time somebody says, you know, I love this book, I've given it to my mother, my friends, someone's grieving, someone's happy, I give them the book. And to me, that's as good as the ratings, because that's human, and I love it. So, yeah.
That's so good. Well, listen, I know one thing. I am getting that book. That book is amazing. And, you know, I have people give me hundreds of books a year, right? This is one I'm going to get because of what you shared today. You know, when we can read, we can read, and you give the commentary, the understanding of how to go dive into the poem, and how it, you know, when we find a poem that we align with, and it opens up that joy, that heart, that connection with ourselves. Hey, why would anybody not want that? I can't imagine. I know I do. Anyway, thank you for being here.
Do me a favor, write and let me know how you like it.
I definitely will. And I got to close the show, but please remain in studio so we can chat afterwards.
This Absolutely.
Has been a really Thank great you. Conversation.
Been a joy.
All right. Okay. Oh, wow. That was powerful. You know, I hope you'll take that to heart, what the doctor was telling us about how to connect with poetry to really change your mood, change your feeling, change, and more importantly, you know, evolve yourself, evolve your consciousness. Speaking about evolving yourself, I want to tell you about my sponsor, and it's Vita Support MD. Vita Support MD was created by a medical doctor. His name is Dr. John Chuback, and they have supplements that are the highest quality out there. He's done his homework. He's done his research. You know, there's so many supplements on the marketplace. Who do you trust? Well, you trust Vita Support MD. And they have a lymphatic formula that supports healthy lymphatic function. They have a formula that helps hemorrhoid formula that supports healthy hemorrhoidal veins. And they also have a formula that helps boost your immune system. So I hope you'll check them out. They are a high-quality company. Again, VitaSupportMD.com, VitaSupportMD.com. Check them out. And for the rest of you, I want to thank you so much for tuning into my show today. And please tell your family and friends about it. You can get all of our replays on VoicesOfCourage.us. You can get my new book at CourageToChange.us. And you can tell Alexa, Cortana, or Siri, just play Voices of Courage podcast, and it'll come right up for you. So until we meet again next time, keep seeing the unseeable and knowing the unknowable and doing the impossible.